News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Ireland is being threatened with a hefty fine for failing to curb turf cutting. The EU court is to hear claims that Ireland is failing to protect its boglands. Independent TD Michael Fitzmaurice is on the line, but first environmental journalist John Gibbons. John, one might argue the European Commission has been somewhat patient because this complaint was made over a decade ago.
That's right. The original complaint was actually made 13 years ago. So we've been given adequate notice over that time, basically that we need to protect our designated bogs. These are special areas of conservation. These are high natural value. And I guess there's three things really to consider with this. First of all, obviously, we're in the throes of a biodiversity crisis in Ireland, and our bogs are probably our most intense zones of remaining biodiversity, number one. Number two, obviously, they're a fantastic source of carbon gathering and carbon storage from the point of view of climate. And number three, intact, healthy bogs provide flood protection services that help local people. So when you drain bogs, you increase the risk of flooding and flood damage in the vicinity. So there are three excellent reasons to protect our bogs. And as you say, the European Commission has been extremely patient because they've tried to avoid conflict with this. But I think they've got to the point now where they said they have to intervene before really any more damage is done.
Michael Fitzmaurice, you're not happy.
Absolutely not. Let's clarify a few things you said in your intro about huge fines. First of all, at least as bad as the EU are and are not great, the first thing is that it's a court case. Ireland is going to strongly defend itself. Second of all, John talked about the three different things there. Nothing got the Habitats Directive has nothing got to do with that or the representative sample of designated bogs in this country. It was about flora and fauna, if you did know the Habitats Directive. What has happened, just to put you in the picture, in 2011 and 12, obviously everyone knows how everybody was in the trenches. Huge amount of work has gone on with the national parks, the good turf cutters right around this country, and indeed ourselves in the TCCA. And we have resolved, actually, there was 53, they call it, but 57, we'd call it, designated areas. We are now down to 12. We are working on them at the moment. There is good collaboration going on. I actually went to Brussels myself in October. I showed them the amount of actual work that was being done. And what John and others don't understand, and unfortunately, it's very easy to shout off the rooftop, but we on the ground have worked with the national parks to restore 4,000 to 5,000
And Michael, people will have...
They've heard you,
but the argument at the crux of all of this is that people still want to burn turf. Why can't we just stop doing that?
Well, first of all, you have to look at social and economic. Have a look at the Ukraine war in the line of...
What's the Ukraine war got to do with turf?
Well, you know the price that oil went. If you have your own bog, it's first of all, it's your private property. Second of all, it's like having your own oil well in your back garden, that you have security of fuel supply, because the people in those areas, in turf cutting areas, would be socially and economically basically less wealthy.
But Michael, at the same time, we have to do all of our individual bit for the environment. And when you see scale of challenges, look at the flooding in Middleton last year, look at the reality of climate change. Everybody has to do their part.
First of all, just be clear on this. Don't be mixing up flooding and all of that with the Habitats Directive that we're talking about now. Let's deal with the facts of this case. This is the Habitats Directive about flora and fauna. And second of all, we all have to do our bit, and everyone agrees with that. Would you not call it a bit, or have any of you been involved in 5,000 to 6,000 hectares of re-wetting of those bogs on private property where the ordinary people worked with the national parks and with all the different organisations to achieve this? So I think we
all right, John Gibbons, they've done more than their fair share to get things done here so that we can be in compliance.
Sure. A UN report has estimated that Ireland's degraded peatlands are currently emitting about 21.5 million tonnes of CO2 a year. That is absolutely massive. That is equivalent almost to the entire agricultural sector. So the issue here really is there may be a small benefit for a small number of people in this, but when you offset and you weigh that against the enormous climate and ecological cost involved here. If we, for example, levied the damage done to those bogs at the rate of the standard carbon tax, then we'd be looking at about €1 billion a year. Now, would Michael, for example, be in favour of a carbon tax being applied to cover that damage, so that the people who are benefiting from the turf cutting are also paying for the damage that they're doing? I suspect the answer to that is no.
So okay, let's ask him, Michael Fitzmyers.
Well, first of all, as per usual, John's figures are wrong. If you looked at the recent research by Chagas, first of all, we have overestimated our peatlands by 50%. Second of all, the figures that was given to the UN are 65% incorrect from the emissions output. So John would want to get his figures right before he'd come on the radio.
Okay. Well, hang on, John,
I reiterate, John is talking about biodiversity and all of this. I am talking about the Habitats Directive. Let's deal with what's in front of us. Let's not talk about solving the world. We, the people...
You've accused John Gibbons of having his figures wrong. I have to let him answer that, Michael.
Yeah,
John,
sure.
Rather?
Yeah, I'm quoting United Nations figures. Now, obviously... Michael Fitzmaurice may well have better information than the United Nations, but I very much doubt it. They carry out scientific surveys on this. Now, obviously, Michael's information is designed to suit Michael's agenda,
Are you saying the United Nations are wrong? What I am quoting is that Chagas is on the ground right around this country. Mm-hmm. They are actually doing a huge amount of research. So in fairness to them, they should have a huge amount of information. And it should be fairly accurate that on a foreign land.
Hmm. Okay. I imagine, Michael, that the United Nations report is probably based on data gathered from organisations in Ireland,
Chagas. No, not from Chagas.
Chagas doesn't provide its data to international organisations.
Just be clear, this has only come out in the last 7 to 8 months. What the reports that you were reading, in fairness, is older than
all
that.
Right.
So let's deal with the up-to-date information.
We'll see. Ultimately, it's going to be a European court that decides all of this and finds out whose figures are ultimately right. Independent TD for Roscommon Galway, Michael Fitzmaurice, John Gibbons, environmental journalist. Thank you both very much for joining us at News Talk.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.